You are listening to the Faith, Love, and Relationship Podcast with Melvin Davis. This is episode 5, part 4. Now, I thought I was done with this series of asking the question, are we unequally yoked? And is it possible for Christians to be unequally yoked? I thought I was done in the last podcast that I did, but last week, I think on a Tuesday, or maybe it was the same night that I posted part 3. I woke up at around 3 a.m. And usually when that happens, I'll get on my knees and I'll just pray. And, when I got on my knees, the Lord began to speak to me about, he gave me 2 points that he wanted me to talk about and address in this message, dealing with, are you unequally yoked with the person that you are courting? And is it possible for Christians to be unequally yoked? And I'm going to give you the foundational scriptures that I'm using for this message. And then I have a new one, another scripture that I want to introduce today. And the scriptures that I'm about to share with you, you can go back and read them and also listen to the other parts of this message, because they all they're linked together. And the first scripture is Philippians 2:5, and I'm not going to read it because I read it in part 3. So Philippians 2:5, and then also 2 Corinthians 6:14, and Amos 3:3. And now I want to read the next scripture, and then I want to pray before I get into before I wrap up this series of are we unequally yoked? And is it possible for Christians to be unequally yoked? So if you got your Bibles or your YouVersion Bible app, I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to start at verse 14. So I'm going to read verse 14 and 15. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. And this is the Amplified Version. Remind the people of these facts and solemnly charge them in the presence of God to avoid petty controversy over words, which does no good and upsets and undermines and ruins the faith of those who listen. Study and do your best to present yourself to God approved, a workman tested by trial, who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of God. So this is the scripture that's going to serve as the foundation of this message. As I wrap up, are we unequally yoked? And is it possible for Christians to be unequally yoked? And 2 Timothy, I'm going to come back to the scripture because one of my points really hits home with it. So if you're wondering, if you are in a relationship right now, and if you're courting someone, or you're in the quote talking phase, you're filling each other out. If you are in tune to God and you are a steward, meaning that you are taking care of whatever God has gifted you with, or you are a steward of your time. Time is something that no one wants to waste, especially as you grow in the Lord and you grow in His wisdom, and you grow, being kingdom minded. You understand that time is of the essence. And if you are investing your time with someone, you know, you want to know, where is this situation headed? Where is this relationship headed? What's the end goal? What's the foundation of and the vision for what you're doing? I was having a conversation with someone, and the conversation sparked the idea that, you know, a relationship should have a vision, where the both of you know, what's the overall goal, what's the aim, what's the end, the conclusion of where you're headed. Because if you don't have a vision and you are just talking and spending time with each other, and it doesn't seem that anything is there's no progression, there's no, nothing is advancing, it's like you're in a standstill gray area trying to figure out what this person wants. It might be very it might be important to have that conversation so that you can get things out in the open and in the air. So I'm going to pray and then I'm going to continue. Holy Spirit, I ask you to guide my heart, to guide my words, and to guide my thoughts. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you will keep Melvin away from this message, and to keep my interpretation off of your word. Holy Spirit, give us revelation. Give us insight and knowledge about what the Word of God is saying to us in this very moment, in this minute. Open our hearts to hear your voice. Make our spirits sensitive to yours. Lead us and guide us into all truth. Remove distractions. Remove the things that the things that waste our time. Help us to prioritize our life, always keeping you first, seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness. And we know, Lord, that by doing that, the added things will come. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So this, I'm going to start, excuse me for a moment. Okay, so I'm going to get to the first point. And, you know, as I stated earlier, I woke up at around 3 a.m. and got on my knees and just to pray. And sometimes when I do that before I can even start praying, God will just download revelation and just begin to just reveal and speak to me in that way. And one of the first things, one of the first points of revelation that he's given me concerning this message about being unequally yoked is that you can be unequally yoked if a person has a closed heart and a closed mind. And this is the way that, you know, the Lord showed it to me, this message, the first point. And it looks like a mathematical equation, if you will. It reads like this: a closed heart plus a closed mind equals an unteachable spirit. A closed heart plus a closed mind equals an unteachable spirit. If you are dating and courting someone and their heart is closed, if their heart is closed and their mind is not going to be receptive to what you have to say, and this can be, you know, in any conversation, any topic that you might be discussing that, you know, may be sensitive, might be personal, especially, you know, concerning the Word of God. If the person has their heart closed and their mind closed, and that means that there is some stubbornness on the inside. And when you're stubborn, it kind of reminds me of, you know, as I think about it right now, it kind of reminds me of the Israelites in the wilderness. You know, they were described as a stiff-necked people, where God had to constantly remind them over and over and over and over and over again about the things that he did not want them to, you know, engage in. And, you know, they were referred to as a stiff-necked people. And that, you know, as you read it, it stressed Moses out. But when someone has an unteachable spirit, that means they're not willing to listen to the other side of the story. They're not willing to, you know, take a look at things in a way that they never had before. And when it comes to, you know, the things of God, the ways of God, and how he moves and how he does things, which are, you know, very much unconventional to many people who look at life through logic and reasoning, when you have that type of mindset and perspective, it's going to become very difficult to accept and hear what God is saying. And whatever season in life that, you know, that's happening in this world, or, you know, it can be anything that God might be doing, but it doesn't make sense to the individual who has a closed heart and a closed mind. And when you have a closed heart and a closed mind, and you become unteachable. And when you're unteachable, it's difficult for the Holy Spirit to pour revelation into you. It's difficult for the Holy Spirit to teach you the Word of God, to teach you the ways of God. And it's even difficult to pray when your heart is closed. And it's hard. You can become an indifferent person to get along with, to socialize with, when you have an unteachable spirit. And to have an unteachable spirit in a relationship, it makes it hard to love. It's difficult to love someone who's unteachable. And stubborn could be a reason why a person may be unteachable. There might be a little of a pride and ego. It could be, which is my next point, doctrine. That, you know, the person that you're courting, that you're with, may have been raised up in a specific denomination and has been taught a doctrine that may not align with the things that you have been taught about God and his word. And so when a person has been, you know, groomed in whatever theology that they, denomination that they may have been brought up in, you know, that becomes their identity. And I'm not suggesting or saying that all doctrine is ungodly or not of God, or doesn't align with, you know, God's word and who Jesus Christ is. there is some doctrine. There are doctrines out there that don't, where they're more couched in humanism and culture appropriation, or just in, you know, in the flesh. And you know, Amos 3:3, you know, how can two walk together unless they agree? If you're not in agreement with each other, you know, about the word of God, you can be unequally yoked. When you have an unteachable spirit, and you come from, you know, different theological, or, you know, a different doctrine, you know, background, that can make you an unequally yoked. And especially when, you know, the both of you have your hearts closed, and one person might know the truth of God's word, but if they don't have their patience, if they close their heart to understand, you know, where the other person is coming from, you know, that can be a barrier or wedge that divides the two of you. So when you have a closed heart and a closed mind and an unteachable spirit, you can be an unequally yoked. And two believers can have a closed heart, closed mind, and an unteachable spirit. And then the second point that I just raised, that, you know, doctrine could be a reason why you're unequally yoked. When you're constantly debating and arguing about the word of God, and you're unable to come into an agreement because you may not have the same mind in Christ. And, you know, besides doctrine or theology, of reasons of contributing to why you may not have the same mind in Christ, and another reason could be, you know, there's no desire to want to commit to God, where you're living your life, you know, fully and thoroughly in Him. When you have one person committed and the other doesn't see a reason to make adjustments in their life so that you can coexist as one. You know, you think about, you know, you have to ask yourself the question regarding godly relationships. You have to ask yourself the question, what kind of impact, and this is someone that you might be interested in, let's, you know, just think hypothetically here. You're interested in someone, you're attracted to them, you see potential. You see that they believe in God, they have some type of, you know, they acknowledge God in some type of way. You have to ask yourself the question, what kind of impact am I going to have on that person's relationship with Christ once I walk into their life? What would your presence and your faith do to that person? And then you also have to consider, if you allow this person into your heart, how would they impact and affect your relationship with the Lord? Because when two people begin to spend time with each other, and I'm talking about quality time together, intimate time together, there are some things that's going to happen, some certain decisions that you may make, you may verbalize it, or it might just be unspoken, but you want to make some type of adjustment or decision to want to coexist with that person because you are interested in them, and you see the potential, and you want the relationship to work, and you want to be around the person. You want to get to know them. You want to know their hearts. You want to know their spirit. You want to spend time with them. And and you're going to do things subconsciously where you want to fit with that person, you want to coexist. And either you want to find yourself scaling back on your relationship with God, maybe the level of passion and intensity and zeal that you may have with him. You may scale back on sharing certain things that you have experienced with God, which is okay, because timing is God's timing is perfect, and you always want to, you know, move with the discernment of the Holy Spirit. You always want to move and do things and with wisdom. You never want to share things out of timing, because to share something too personal or too supernatural, depending on where the person is at and their walk with God, you might scare them away. You might turn them off. So there's a certain time that you want to disclose things and hold back. Essentially, when the Holy Spirit says, now is the time to share whatever it is that he places on your heart. Because, you know, whenever I'm led to share things, then it means that the recipient needs to hear it. And either it's going to, you know, boost their faith, make them curious to want to go home and study the Word of God for themselves, or to seek God about it. It might be a word of something that's going to convict them. It might be a word of correction or a gentle rebuke, or it might remind them of God's love and his grace and his mercy. It might be some type of you know, godly counsel that's going to bring clarity and center that person back in Christ, so that they can see, you know, what's happening in their situation from his perspective, from a godly and biblical perspective. Whatever it is that, you know, that God places on your heart, or whatever the things that you have experienced, there's a certain time to share that. And there's a time when it's not. Because revelation could cause confusion in the mind of the other person if they're not ready to handle what you want to say, what God, or what God has done in your life. So you always want to just move, you know, with the wisdom and with the discernment of God. So, to reiterate again, a closed heart plus a closed mind equals an unteachable spirit. Doctrine could be a reason why you're unequally yoked. You'll debate and argue about the Word of God, where you're not, you know, able to come into agreement because you don't have the same mind in Christ. And now remember, I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 again, so that this is, you know, this is fresh in our minds. And it reads, remind the people of these facts and solemnly charge them in the presence of God to avoid what? Petty controversy over words. And it sounds like much like nitpicking, or just, you know, reading into things, or being over spiritual, because some Christians can be very over spiritual, that they are of no earthly good. So you want to avoid controversy over words, which does no good, and it upsets and undermines and ruins the faith of those who listen. So you never want to be arrogant in your approach and how you share the Word of God, because it's going to cause contention, it's going to stir arguments, debates, and all these things are counterproductive. And verse 15 is what I want to get, is the point that I really want to drive in the scripture. Study and do your best to present yourself to God approved, a workman tested by trial, who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of God. What is this word? What's being communicated and conveyed in this verse? That we should be or growing into being equipped and able and skillfully handling the word of God, meaning that we should be in the place in Christ or heading in a place in Christ where we're able to teach the word of God to someone else, where we're able to, you know, receive revelation from the Lord about what his word is saying. And this, you know, this ties into doctrine for those who are brought up on whatever doctrine that you have been raised on. If the doctrine hasn't become revelation to you, or whatever you have heard or you, whatever preaching and teaching that you have sat under, if it hasn't become revelation to you, and by that I mean where God hasn't, you haven't sat before God for the Lord to confirm that to you, and you're living life, you know, you're living life based upon what you have heard others say and not, you know, by what you have experienced, then how do you know that what you're following or whatever doctrine that you have been taught and discipled under, how do you know it's biblical? And I'm not suggesting or saying that, you know, whoever church or whatever church that you go to is teaching a false doctrine. What I'm saying is, when you hear something, you should want to go home and study it for yourself, or ask God, you know, to reveal it to you. Especially if you have some questions that are just, you know, firing off in your head. And other times the Holy Spirit will just confirm it to you and give you that peace. But if you never, examine, you know, a message and go and went home and study it and read the scripture for yourself and experience the revelation for yourself, how do you know that what you're following is biblical and true? Because there are some people who are, you know, they're sitting on the teaching and preaching, and it's not the word of God. It's humanism. It's culture. And, you know, or it's personal preference. And personal preference, you know, can be extremely dangerous, because this is what the person, that's what they believe about the word of God. And what we believe is not always in agreement with God's word and with the mind of Christ. And we should be in a place when we're able to study the word of God for ourselves and not just rely on, you know, some sermon or YouTube teaching or series, or even small group Bible study, but within our own confines of our home, in our secret place, we should be reading the word of God for ourselves to study ourselves approved. And this is what, you know, Paul was instructing Timothy to study the word of God, to show himself approved, that he's willing and equipped to be able to teach it and disciple others in the way that Paul was discipling Timothy. There should be a Paul and a Timothy in your life. And at different points in our walk with the Lord, as we mature, we become like a Timothy, or we might meet a Paul, because as you go deeper in God and delve deeper into his love and into the depths of his spirit, we become like a child all over again, like a baby learning how to walk. We stumble, we fall, we get up and walk, and we stumble and we fall, and we're trying to hold on and latch onto something to be able to stand and understanding the revelation in the season that God has us in. And there have been seasons in my life where I'm like a child, where I'm like, God, I don't understand what you're saying right now. Teach me. Reveal it to me. And he begins to give me crumbs. And those crumbs will eventually become a whole meal that I'm now ready to eat because I've sat at the master's feet. The goal should be to always be discipled by Christ. The goal should be that we should be able to sit at his feet and hear his voice and to know when he's speaking to us. When we come to a point in life where we have knowledge and wisdom and understanding and revelation of his word, that when we open the Bibles, that the Bible and whatever that we're studying and reading, we should be able to discern the Holy Spirit teaching us. We should have a pen and notepad and, you know, to jot down things or whatever it is that God is revealing to you. We should all be in a place where we're able to impart something into another believer's life that's going to elevate them in their faith. And we should be equipped to minister to the unbeliever when we're able to share the gospel of the kingdom of God with that individual person, or lead them into salvation, or pray this, you know, the prayer of salvation, or to pray for them in general about their cares and their concerns and, you know, whatever things that they, or whatever place that they are in life and they're believing for. You know, we should be able to be equipped to intercede and ready to intercede. We should be in a place where we're able to show the love of God to someone, where we literally embody the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to move, you know, to my third point. And this is, this is a quote. That the Lord blessed me with. And it reads, love wouldn't cost you your relationship with Christ. Neither would it bring you back from a lifestyle God delivered you from. Love wouldn't cost you your relationship with Christ. Neither would it bring you back from a lifestyle, bring you back to a lifestyle that God delivered you from. And this is very, critical here. Because you may have come from a place where you may not have been as committed to God in the way that you are now. And you know, like I said earlier, when you spend time with someone, you want to be with them because you like them, you'll find yourself, agreeing to things that you may not want to do because you want to spend time with that person. Or you find yourself doing things that you have put away and put behind you, just to satisfy and please that person. But I want you to remember that whether relationship or friendship or job, whatever it is, God's not going to give you something that's going to make you give him up. Love is not going to cost you your salvation. It's not going to cost you your relationship with Christ. It's not going to bring you back to a place that you have matured and grew from. And you might be in two different places in the Lord. And this goes back to my first point. You know, if you're in two different places in Christ, and the person has an unteachable spirit, it's going to be hard to move in unison and to move as one in the relationship. And the question that I asked earlier, what kind of impact are you going to have in that person's walk with Christ and vice versa? You have to be realistic with yourself. Also understanding and patient, you know, walking in love, 1 Corinthians 13. You have to be honest with yourself and keep in mind that when you walk into someone's life and you're living your life a certain way and they're living their life a different way, it's going to take an adjustment on both parties' behalf. But when you want someone who's as an unteachable spirit and they're living their life a certain way, and here you are living your life in Christ, surrender and committed in pursuit of Him, living your life out in Christ, and the other person isn't, it's going to be a drastic change and an adjustment for them. And it might be jolting to the person where they're like, wait a minute, I'm not ready for all of this. And not only that, they may not be ready to make that transition. It's going back to being unteachable. Someone who's unteachable may not see that there is a need for change or need for adjustment, because this is the perspective that they view life from, and you're not going to change that if they have an unteachable spirit, if their heart is closed and their mind is closed. Because if you try to coexist with someone who has an unteachable spirit, hoping that down the line that they will change, and you make suggestions or try to encourage change, plant seeds of change, that person is going to interpret your efforts of loving them in a godly way as control. They're going to start to think that you're trying to manipulate them or mold them into this person that you see for them. And it's important to keep in mind that we should want to change for God and not for a relationship or a person. Because if the person doesn't see the need to change, or if they may try to change or adapt to the temperature or the direction of your walk in Christ, but sooner or later, that's going to be too, it's going to feel religious to them, that they're forcing themselves to live a life that they don't want to live. And they're going to start adjusting for you and not for God, because love is a choice, right? And when we want to change and put our minds in a position to be transformed, that's a decision that the individual has to make for themselves. You can pray and intercede for them and plant seeds. You might be able to plant, you might be able to water a little bit, but in order for those seeds to like really grow, the other person has to see that there's a need for them to flourish in that way. And if you try to love that person and they're not ready to walk the walk that you have with God, then you're going to be forcing it. That's going to make you unequally yoked. And my last point, excuse me, the last point is a quote that I came up with actually last night. this is, I think it's very, very necessary to especially discuss at the beginning of a relationship, as you're getting to know someone and your feelings are growing and you're warming up to that person. And this is my quote. It's okay to communicate that you're unwilling to speak someone's love language. Your honesty will gain their respect and grant you the opportunity to find someone you're compatible with. I'll read this again. It's okay to communicate that you're unwilling to speak someone's love language. Your honesty will gain their respect and grant you the opportunity to find someone you're compatible with. And this is the caption that I put on there. Don't agree to anything because you're excited. That excitement and honeymoon stage wears off. When you feel like you have to go out of your way to meet expectations, it's unfair to put that kind of pressure on yourself. Loving someone may take effort, yet loving should come naturally. If it's not a hassle for you to do certain things, or if it's a hassle for you to do certain things, there's not enough love in your heart. Step away and have faith that you'll find someone that you're compatible with. You will know you found the one, when you're eager and excited to put the other person first. So, this is a discussion. And actually, this last point is going to lead into my next message, which is comprised of like preliminary. I will call them preliminary questions that you need to ask before you decide to court someone. You want to discuss. You want to talk about your love languages. You want to talk about your likes and dislikes and things that work for you, things that necessarily don't. You want to talk about what you're willing to sort of compromise on and be flexible to be flexible and fluid with. And you want to talk about some non-negotiables, and I think it's a good idea to get that out in the opening now, rather than because you're excited and you say to the other person, yes, I'm this way, yes, I'm that way, yes, I'll do this, you know, I'm capable of doing whatever because you're excited. And ideally this fits the godly relationship that you're looking for. But you know in your heart that if a person ask of you to do certain things, it's going to be a hassle for you. You're going to feel like you're going out of your way, and you don't want to put that kind of pressure on you. You don't want to put yourself in a relationship always feeling like you're not meeting someone's expectations, or you feel like you're forcing yourself to do something that you're not comfortable with. Because when you are really in love with someone, I'm not talking about liking, anyone can like someone. Love is a whole different, you know, whole different ball game. But when you love someone, it's like you put yourself last and you put the other person first. And your heart is like is eager to want to please them, to want to speak their love language. But when you don't have enough love in your heart, and there's not much admiration, a desire to cater to that person, to put them first, and having a heart of serving and not being served, it's going to become problematic for you to do certain things for that person. You're going to be resistant. You're going to be combative. You might get an attitude. Moody. You're going to feel like you're going out of your way to love that person. And that's not what God has for you. Of course, it might take some effort to make an adjustment because you may not be accustomed or used to expressing yourself in a way that you never have before. Again, but when you love, your heart is open to loving and meeting that person halfway. Because there are certain ways that you want to be engaged in, that you want to be loved, and you want to want that person that you are investing in time with to reciprocate that to you. But when two people are unwilling to communicate, speak each other's love language, that makes you unequally yoked. Because, you know, your heart is closed. Your mind is closed. You have an unteachable spirit. Someone is trying to show you how they want to be loved, and pride and ego gets in the way, and it hurts your feelings. And you're easily offended, then you want to shut down. And it's going to prevent you from loving the other person. When you have different doctrinal beliefs, and you're unable to come to a middle ground, or to even like go to the Word of God together and pray to come to some type of resolution, or if you're unable to hear from God, how do you, if you're unable to hear from God, how do you have the same mind in Christ? And a question actually came to mind earlier today. I haven't got a chance to post it because I've been busy. And this is the way that I saw it, and God showed me in my head, is that, you know, what are you consuming more? News, social media. What are you consuming more? This is in terms of like information, things that are coming into your mind, things that are come across your eyes, things that you are listening to about what's happening in the world, what's happening in this universe. What are you consuming more? Are you consuming more of that, of what people are saying? Or are you consuming the Word of God? Are you consuming the mind of Christ? Are you consumed with prayer? Are you consumed with praising and worshiping God, and consumed with sitting at His feet, consumed with loving Him, consumed with ministering to the Lord, consumed with consecrating yourself, consumed with living a life of praying and fasting? Because one or the other is going to tell someone if you're able to hear the voice of God. Because if you're consuming information without consuming God, it leads to deception and believing misinformation. Because if you're not spending time with God and you're consuming other things, how do you have a heart to discern, a spirit to discern, to decipher what's truth, what's false, what's relevant, what's irrelevant, what's really going on? It's going to be hard to decipher where the bride of Christ is at in the times that we're living in. It's going to be difficult to hear God's voice. Jesus says, my sheep, they hear my voice. So which voice are you consuming more of? Media? News? Social media? Because that has a voice. And then there's the voice of God. And you need to be able to hear the voice of God to be equally yoked with each other. You need to be able to hear the voice of God to have a godly relationship. A godly relationship means that you have a relationship with God, and you can't have a godly relationship without the other. So if you can't, you know, come into agreement because of different doctrinal beliefs, then that's going to make an unequally yoked, and you have a unteachable spirit. Your mind is closed. You're not in a position to hear. And if your relationship, and if you're calling it love, but you're calling it love, but it's asking you to give up your relationship with Christ, or the courtship is bringing you back to a mindset that God never approved of, but because you tasted and see the Lord, that you experience a revelation of his holiness that says, I can't go back to Egypt. That I can't go back to this type of behavior, because you have grown up and you have begun to move towards the light of Christ. And when you move towards the light of Christ, you take on God's personality. You take on his being. You take on his holiness. And we know that sin cannot enter the presence of God. And when you spend time with God, you feel the same way that he feels about sin. You don't want to be in his presence. I mentioned a few months ago that choosing not to participate in unrighteousness does not make you self-righteous. It does not make you a Pharisee. It does not make you a know-it-all. It does not make you better than. It makes you appear that you have your mind made up in Christ, and you're not willing to bend, to compromise, to negotiate what's most important in your life, who is Jesus Christ. And people have the perception and the thought in mind that because you're choosing not to engage in certain things, that you're better than them, that you're self-righteous, and that's a lie from the enemy. Don't succumb to the lie. Stand firm, yes, walk in love, but don't compromise. And lastly, you can be unequally yoked by not wanting to speak someone's love language. And it's okay to say, you know, I'm not ready to give you what you're asking for, or I'm unwilling to do that. It's just not my personality. It's not who I am. This is uncomfortable. you should find someone that's able to meet those needs, because I don't want to put myself in a position where I feel pressured and forced to love. Because love should come natural. You can gain that person respect, and you can move on. That person can move on and find somebody that they're compatible with. And that's a win-win situation for the both of you. And I want to conclude this message with a prayer. I thank you so much for listening. I truly pray that you have been touched and moved by this message, that God has spoken to you and moved on your heart, has given you some clarity, some direction and guidance about what you should do. Praise God if you are with someone and you're on the same page. I also plan to do a message about being equally yoked. Because there are some people who are out there who are recording and they are equally yoked. And they're on the same page and they have the mind of Christ, and there's such an insurmountable, uncanny, immeasurable kind of peace that sometimes they believe that this is not true, that what they experienced and who they met. This message is for those who feel like they're in the gray area with someone, who feel like things aren't going anywhere. And this may not be a comforting message for you. Nonetheless, it's a necessary message. Because God, He cares about you. And He deeply loves you. And He doesn't want to see you waste the prime years of your life in an on and off inconsistent relationship that does nothing but gratify your flesh and that gives you attention. Ladies, you don't want attention, you want love. You don't want attention, you want the ring. The ring is more than the attention. And gentlemen, you don't want a trophy wife when a helpmate. You want the woman that God has for you, that He has groomed for you in the way that Esther prepared for King Xerxes. I want to speak about that another time, about Esther and Ruth. But I will mention about Ruth that she put herself in a position for Boaz to find her. She wasn't looking for attention. She was looking to be found. Woman of God, you want to be found by your Boaz. And there's a certain way to do that. And there's a way that you don't want to position and posture yourself. Because you can attract love or you can attract lust. Lust comes in the form of attention. And Jesus, I thank you so much for this message. Thank you for your clarity, and the precision, and the sharpness of your mind and your word. I pray that it penetrated hearts. I pray that it penetrated to the depths of souls. I ask you, Jesus, that you will continue to be the good shepherd that you are. Continuing, Lord, to love us in the way that makes us want to change and be obedient to you. That makes us want to give our heart to you, that your love, God, I know that when we do wrong, it grieves your spirit. And when you grieve, Jesus, we grieve. I pray for healing right now. I pray that you will break the cycle of emotional codependency. That you will just put an end to the cycle of jumping from one relationship and one person, talking to one person to the other and talking to the next person. And the cycle continues to go around and around, that leaves us nowhere but in circles, having us distracted, that we cannot hear your voice or see, recognize who you're trying to wed us with and become one within you. Still our spirits, that we may know that you're God. Give us the patience to wait. Give us a heart of prayer, that we may intercede on others who are in need. Use us as a vehicle for change and transformation in the lives of others. Fill us, God, with your glory and your love, that when we come into contact with someone, that they will feel and sense the power of your holiness and the power of your love. And if you have never given your life to Christ, to the person that's listening right now, I pray that you do. That you accept Jesus into your heart, accept him into your life, and accept him into your mind, accept him into your soul as Lord and Savior. That you believe in your heart and you confess with your tongue. Because what you confess should come from your heart. And when it is done, then the Lord will come and abide in you. For those who have fallen away from God, and because of church hurt, because of pain and being taken advantage of, or betrayal, I pray that God will heal you. I pray that God will forgive those who have offended you and who have hurt you, and cause your heart to be broken in pieces. I pray that God will forgive those who have lied to you. I pray that you find in your heart to be forgiving to those, for those who have caused you to stumble in your walk with God. I pray for peace and reconciliation. I pray for the warmth of the Holy Spirit just to come upon you right now. That your mind and heart will be transformed forever. That you will continue to move in the direction that the Good Shepherd is leading you to. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. If this message has touched your heart, you are welcome to pass it along to someone. Thank you so much again for your time and listening to this message. I pray that you were blessed by it. Please subscribe to my podcast, Faith, Love, and Relationships, so that whenever I do post it, you will get the notification directly. Also, if you haven't checked out my novel, I published it in my first book. Actually, last year, around this time, at the beginning of the pandemic, it is titled Healed for Love, Broken for What You Long For. And it's an awesome book, not just because I wrote it, but because God's presence is in it. It's available on Amazon. It's available on iBooks, Google Play, but Amazon and iBooks are the two major platforms that Healed for Love is selling on, and it's available in paperback and ebook. So if you hadn't got a chance to get a copy, Go ahead and get it. It's called Healed for Love, H-E-A-L-E-D. Healed for Love. And the tagline is broken for what you long for. I plan to do some readings out of it. The story is written in from two different perspectives, David Bradshaw and Jennifer Washington. And there's some things that I want to share from David's perspective in terms of how men heal, or the healing that we need, and how God works through all of that to prepare us for, to be leaders in marriage. Thank you again. God bless.